In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we commemorate the beheading of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, also known as the Forerunner, was a type of bridge between the prophets and Christ. He is considered the last of the prophets and a forerunner to the good news that is Jesus Christ. And it is because of his prophetic voice, his prophetic witness, that we commemorate his beheading today. In today's gospel account, we hear that Herod has come to hear who Jesus is, that his name has become known. Now, some among Herod's closest advisors told him that Jesus was John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Others said that Jesus was Elijah, while yet others told Herod that Jesus was a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. This whole scene with Herod and his household is almost humorous. All of them obviously don't understand both who John the Baptist was or who Jesus was, but they're not all wrong in their assessment. In Matthew 11, Christ does indeed call John the Baptist the Elijah who is to come, because they are of the same spirit and they partake in the same ministry. Nevertheless, there does seem to be some confusion about who Jesus is. And I think it's important because the confusion around who Jesus is precisely connected to who John the Baptist was. You see, at this point in Mark 6, Jesus' name is becoming known to individuals such as Herod Antipas. And all before this in Mark's gospel, people are beginning to ask who Christ is. Going back to the beginning, at the end of Mark 1, those in the synagogue where Christ was teaching are astonished because he spoke with one having authority and not as the scribes. In Mark 2, the scribes are indignant at Christ because Christ forgave the sins of a paralytic. And the scribes ask themselves in their hearts, who can forgive sins but God alone? In Mark 3, the scribes again are confused about this Jesus figure and liken him to Beelzebub, saying that he has a demon, and that it is by the prince of demons that he casts out demons. At the end of Mark 4, right after Jesus calms the storm on the Sea of Galilee, his disciples ask in astonishment, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And at the beginning of Mark 6, when Jesus returns to Nazareth and is once again teaching in the synagogue, the people ask, where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom given to him? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? From all this, we can see that Jesus wasn't necessarily the well-known figure that we know him to be today. His fame grew. And this leads us right up to today's gospel reading, where Herod now hears of Christ. And why this is so important is because this says something about who John the Baptist is in relation to Christ. You see, while all of this was going on, John the Baptist had already been baptizing with the baptism of water. He already had numerous followers and was already well known among many in the area, including Herod. Conversely, up to this point, Jesus was not still truly known in his fullness. So much so that according to the gospel reading today, people were going around saying that Christ was John the Baptist. It really seems like due to the fame of St. John the Baptist, due to his prolific preaching and baptizing, his whole ministry, that at least in some of the regions, he was a more well-known figure than Christ. And some scholars sometimes try to read into this too much. Sometimes you'll hear scholars say, or you'll read books that, you know, they say, oh, well, maybe St. John the Baptist and Jesus really were rivals. Maybe John the Baptist was actually a messianic figure in his own right. And maybe those humble sayings that St. John the Baptist makes about Christ ascending and himself descending are later redactions by Christ or by Jesus' followers trying to gloss over this rivalry. And these accusations are, for me at least, kind of funny, because so many of these academics and biblical scholars refuse to accept something so simple as the fact that John the Baptist was just a very humble person. It's as if they cannot comprehend that someone as popular as St. John the Baptist would make way, would become less, would descend even to the point of death so that the light of Christ could shine all the brighter. You see, St. John the Baptist knew that it wasn't about him. John the Baptist knew that he was not the light of the world. He knew that he was not the one who is to come. He knew who Christ was, perhaps better than any other figure in the scriptures besides Christ's own mother. And it was John the Baptist's humility and love for Christ that makes his light shine all the brighter. You don't do what John the Baptist did. You don't voluntarily give up having a great following with all these followers who think you're a great teacher unless you truly love that which comes after you. Unless you have a truly humble disposition and you understand that everything you have been doing, everything that you have been working towards, only works if Christ is the center of your life. And we can turn this onto our own lives, right? What are we doing? Why are we doing the things that we are doing? Not just in church, but in the world. Do we descend in our own lives so that Christ can shine through us? St. John the Baptist knew that the light that shone within him was not his own. And it was this humility and love for the true light, for Christ, that makes him the great saint that we know him to be today. Regarding humility and love, St. Cosmas of Aetolos says that it is these two virtues, humility and love, that are like two wings, which we need in order to soar upward, in order to attain paradise. St. Porphyrios says that love and humility are like a shortcut to God, because they bring you to total reliance on him. Love and humility take us outside of ourselves, and this is precisely what we see in John the Baptist. His entire life was devoted to God. In his own words, he says that he was sent to prepare the way, that he was a friend of the bridegroom, and that he rejoices when he hears the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of Christ. This is the humility of St. John the Baptist. It's so easy to rejoice in ourselves and in our own accomplishments. How much harder is it to come to a point in our lives when we can truly rejoice in the life of another? To rejoice in their life as if it was our own, so that their successes become our successes. Their triumphs become our triumphs, because we love them as we love ourselves. And this is why St. John the Baptist can say, "This joy of mine is now full. He must increase, but I must decrease." It's one of the most beautiful lines in Scripture, and it perfectly encapsulates the ministry of St. John. All that he did, every time he proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," it was to soften the hearts of those around him and to prepare their hearts for Christ. Even when in today's gospel, he told Herod that it was not lawful to have his brother's wife. It wasn't simply to scold him for his marriage to his brother's wife, who also happened to be his half-niece, but to turn him towards Christ in repentance, because his marriage was not a form of marriage blessed by God. And it was this declaration that St. John ultimately paid for with his life. He was put to death by a man who feared him, by a man who knew, as the scriptures tell us, that he was a holy and righteous man. He was executed by a man who almost respected him, but a man who valued his courtiers and officers and the leading men of Galilee over a voice that spoke truth. But here I want to emphasize something that I think we really need to emphasize, especially as Orthodox Christians. You know, sometimes we emphasize so much about truth in the Orthodox Church, that we're the true church, that we've kept the true faith. We even sing, "We have seen the true light," after communion. And so many people are attracted to the church because we see ourselves as having preserved the true Orthodox Christian doctrine for thousands of years. But we always need to be aware of why we speak the truth and how we speak the truth. We should always speak the truth in love, as St. Paul says in Ephesians. And this was something that Father Thomas Hopko, who many of you know and probably have listened to, used to say constantly. In fact, he used the phrase so much that some people started attributing it to Father Tom Hopko and not to St. Paul. But this speaking the truth in love is tantamount to our lives as Christians, especially today. So often we can get caught up in the head theology of the church, the church's doctrines, her Christology, her soteriology, her triadology, all of these ologies. And these are important. They're integral to our faith. But knowing them, all of these ologies, is not synonymous with the Christian faith or the Christian life. There are plenty of philosophers and academics who are not Orthodox who can probably explain Orthodox Christian doctrine better than many of us, myself included. And yet they wouldn't, and we wouldn't, consider them to be Orthodox Christians. Because our faith is more than that. Our faith is a lived faith. And this lived faith is best seen in a saint such as John the Baptist, where everything he did, every time he spoke truth, he was doing so because it directed people not towards him, but directed people towards Christ. And when love and humility become ingrained within us, when this is what we seek initially, truth will naturally flow from us, because we will want others to become partakers in the truth that is Christ. This is what St. John the Baptist's life revolved around. Christ was the reason for his prophetic witness. Christ, we could even say, was the reason why he called out Herod on his marriage, and ultimately the reason why he lay his head beneath the sword. It was truth, but a truth saturated with love and humility. May we all, with God's grace, begin to cultivate this love and humility within ourselves. And may we have St. John the Baptist's intercessions. And may we remember his prophetic witness and his love and humility before Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.